I've already preached this message here over the last 12 years. I've preached it twice. Preached it back in 2007 and once in 2009. And I'm not preaching it again this morning because I just didn't have anything else to preach. It's one of those that I think every church needs to hear several times. We all need to hear. We need that instruction. It's so easy to get away from our priorities, to move into veins that are important. We're doing important things, but are they the main thing? Is that the real reason why we're still here on planet Earth? Why hasn't the Lord come back and taken his children home yet? You know why? Because there's a work to be done. Just as my brother said, there's more work in the vineyard that needs to be done. And the beautiful thing is God wants to use us. Isn't that neat? That the Lord would desire to use us, and some would say, well, what gifts and abilities do I have? I don't know, but I know this. God's gifted you, according to what the Scripture says, that he's given all of us in this room gifts and abilities that are advantageous to the extension of his ministry. My prayer is that some of you are going to begin to look out on the horizon and say, Lord, I want you to use me to accomplish thus and such. That your relationship with the Lord and the beauty of God's gifting in your life will bring about some change. How many of us enjoy change? All right, three or four of you like change. The rest of us are like, we're comfortable in our rut. Leave us alone. We're very predictable sometimes, aren't we? And, you know, we like, somebody said that it's easy being in a rut because you always know what's going to happen next. And that's good. But in some aspects, that's bad. Some of us need to break out of the molds, kind of like me getting my hair cut off. You know, that was a big switch, but I sure am glad I did it. And I don't have to deal with that stuff anymore, and it's a blessing. I told somebody long ago, I wash my face and my hair all one swipe. Just get it done. Amen, LJ. But I want us to look at a passage this morning that I think is extremely important for us as a church. And I want to put emphasis on this because it's extremely important. We're moving into a very serious time for our church body. Whenever a church goes into a building project, and I'm not trying to put a building project above our responsibility, because we need to make sure we keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is seeing people come to Christ. And it's nothing but a building, bricks and mortar and steel. That's all it is. But it is an opportunity to speak volumes into a community and a facility that we can use to see more people come to Christ. I grew up under the ministry of a man that said, behind every number is a soul. You know, there's some people say, well, we don't want to get too many people coming. We don't want it to get too crowded. Well, listen, if that's what we're concerned about it getting too crowded and too many people coming in, then we've lost our heart and our vision to see people's lives changed. Because that's what we need to be about. Everything we do needs to be a means to an end of seeing people come to Christ and seeing somebody know what it means to be saved and to have eternal life. And just as our brother sang just a moment ago, what are you doing in the vineyard? We're all about cultivating our vineyard. But what are we doing for the kingdom of God's sake? And I believe that you're not only a tither of your talents, but also your tithe, the money that God gives to you, and your time. How much time do you give to the Lord? How much time do you give to him? Do you give a tenth of your time to him? Do you give 20% of your time to him? You ever sit down and look at your day? It used to be your, what do you call that thing? I can't even remember now. Your day timer. You used to have one of those day timers. Now it's an iPhone. We keep that close to the heart. So if it rings, we know to go see what's up for the next month. How many of you like reminders on iPhones? Aren't they a blessing? When to go to bed, when to get up, when to take your medicine, when to do this, when we're desperate for those kind of things. But sometimes we need to be reminded of the fact that we need to be about God's service. Check your spiritual pulse this morning. What did you do for the Lord this week? I told our Wednesday evening at a prayer meeting. I said, I've got a DVD coming by Al Whittinghill, and it's a message on tears. Al Whittinghill makes a statement in that DVD, if you haven't shed a tear over somebody that's lost and headed to hell, if you haven't shed a tear over somebody like that in the last 6 months, you're backslidden. When was the last time you cried over somebody's soul? When was the last time you were so consumed with somebody else's problems other than your own? You ever get so busy in the things of the Lord you don't have time to worry about what's going on in your life because you're consumed with somebody else's problems and what they're dealing with? Now, it's very easy in my profession to be a workaholic. I have to work at making sure that I don't do too much. And some will say, we only work on Wednesdays and Sundays. Like a man asked me, he said, what do you do for work? I said, well, I'm a pastor. He said, I know, but what do you do for work? I said, well, you want to follow me 24/7? I'll be glad to show you what I do. He said, well, what do you do to get paid? I said, I'm a pastor. He said, you mean they pay you money for that? I said, well, I wish I could do it for nothing, but I got to eat just like everybody else does, and I got responsibilities. I'm talking about a team. Hey, listen, this is not my show, friends. And I told you when I came here, you're not going to hire me to do your work. That's what people do many, many times. They say, we're going to pay you to do what we're supposed to be doing. But God will never honor that. And I think I've proven to you over 12 years that I'll do my job. Nobody's ever had to call me up on the phone. The deacons don't have to come and find out where I'm at and what I'm up to. Nine times out of ten, I'm the first one to be here and the last one to leave. And I will do my job. I help out on every single thing that takes place, whether it's a ladies' luncheon or it's vacation Bible school or it's this or that. I'll be in my place doing my job. But I don't do it for you, and I don't do it for a paycheck. You know why I do it? Because it's my God-given responsibility to God first and foremost. Because that's the ministry the Lord's given to me, and I say it and I mean it. When you die, you ought to be have lived your life in such a way that you'll be missed. Instead of when we take our last breath and somebody walks by a casket and they say, well, I sure am glad he's gone. What kind of team do we have at Hollywood Baptist Church? It's more than just coming and sitting on the pew and occupying the premises and doing a little church thing on Sunday. But it's a lifestyle, is what it should be. Look in Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18, we pick up in verse 13. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses, look, from morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why settest thou thyself alone, and all of the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto the father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of the Lord, or they come asking of the Lord. I serve as a mediator. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law looked at him, said unto him, the thing that thou doest not good. You know, you wonder why you've got hundreds of preachers that are resigning churches and leaving every month. Somebody said that it's up to 1,500 a month of pastors that resign churches and leave them because they cannot take the burden and the load of the ministry. Now, some of you would look at me and say, well, preacher, you don't really do that much. But there again, you don't know what I do. I make myself very approachable. And that gets me in a world of trouble sometimes because my phone rings constantly. People have problems, and when people have problems, they think many times they're the only one that's having a problem. But you don't know that I've already gotten 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 texts prior to you saying something to me, and that's fine. I'm trying to work on right now getting a day off. Nobody knows when I get a text that concerns your situations, it's difficult for me to cut my phone off. Because when I get a text from somebody, whether it's in the community or somebody in this church, my heart becomes overwhelmed and burdened. And there are very, very few days that I ever get a whole day that I'm totally away from everybody's burdens and problems. I don't hear a whole lot of good reports. Most of the time, what I'm going to get is the bad and the difficulty. And that's okay. That's what I signed on for. I've done it for 30 years. I haven't lost my mind yet. I know I've gotten a little uglier and some of my hair has fallen out and I'm a little overweight. But I don't think it's anything my doctor can't cure. Oh, according to him, take a pill. That's his philosophy. Take a pill. Here's another one. Take a pill. But it's got to be a shared responsibility. You know what? Some of you are the greatest ministers on planet Earth. Some of you could run circles around me because you're gifted in different areas that I'm not. Hey, there are things that I've walked through in life that you haven't walked through, but there are things that you've walked through that I haven't walked through. Some of you have gone through divorce. I don't know anything about divorce. It's difficult. That's a hard thing, and I've walked with people through it, but I've never faced that. And you've been through other things. But there has got to be a shared responsibility. It's got to be a team effort. And listen, every single person in this room has the potential of being mightily used of God. Because God has gifted you in areas that He has not gifted me. And we have to have that team concept and a team responsibility. People say, wait, that's the way it's got to happen in the business world. Can I say something to you? That's the way it needs to happen in the church too. Can somebody say amen? Yeah. And what Jethro is saying to Moses, he's saying, Moses, what in the world are you doing? I've been watching you. You've been sitting here from the morning to the evening, and everybody comes by and asks of you and inquires of you and wants you to do something to be the mediator and the moderator between them and God. And look what he says. The thing that thou doest is not good. Verse 18, thou shalt surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee. It's not only not good for me, but it's not good for you either. I've never been the kind of pastor that I had to do everything. Now, I'm not real good at delegating. That's probably one of my weaknesses because I've been burnt so many times. You know, I'm the kind of person when you delegate something out to somebody, I expect them to take it and go. But there have been many a times when I said, okay, you're going to take care of this? Yes. You take full responsibility? Yes. And guess what happens? Preacher, I'm sorry. I know that thing starts in about an hour, but I can't take care of it. So what am I going to do? You know what I think? That the important thing is, if you're a nursery worker and you put your name on the dotted line, and thank God for Julie, amen, that calls us every week and reminds us of what we're supposed to be doing. How many of you is that a blessing to? Because you kind of like Robert, between home and here, you forgot. And I can understand totally. But we all need those reminders. But in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, if you had the responsibility of doing something, don't be calling the preacher and say, I can't do it now. You get somebody else to take care of it. Amen. Boy, don't that sound like fun? And I've been burnt too many times. So many times I just take the load myself. But you know one of my problems, one of my many problems, I'm human. I'm weak. As I said last week, I'm 61 years old. Hey, I don't have the energy level that I used to. Now, I'm going to give it the best kick I can get. It might not be as high as it used to be, but I'm going to give it the best one I can get. And I told somebody the other day, I said, I'm kind of understanding what I used to hear all the time when the older people used to say, well, just let the young kids do it. And that's kind of registering with me now that I'm thinking, yeah, that might not be too bad. Let the young crowd take care of it. But Moses is saying, I mean, Jethro is saying, listen, this thing, if you continue to operate the way you're operating, it's not going to be healthy for all parties involved. And this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. But thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto the Lord. What's that talking about? That's talking about being an intercessor. I'm not the professional prayer. I'm not the only one that can pray prayers. Hey, listen, I don't mind praying about your stuff and what you're going through. But if somebody calls you and says, I need somebody praying for me, don't call me and say, preacher, would you pray for my neighbor? You know what? You pray for him. And then you can call me and say, preacher, I've already taken care of it. I've already prayed with him. Just want to make you aware of it so we can get twice as much prayer going up. But many times I'm the scapegoat. I'm not complaining this morning. That's not what I'm doing. But I am saying this, that this needs to be a shared responsibility. We've made some good strides. We've accomplished some things over 12 years. But there are some greater things that need to take place, and I believe God will do that. But I believe that the responsibility has got to be broadened. We need to enlarge our coast, because I'll be honest with you, I told Matt last week when he came through, and I said it last Sunday morning, we don't need anybody else that's going to come here and fold up the arms and sit on Jordan's stormy banks and let hell rage. We need people that are going to get busy. I know you're busy, but friends, make sure that you invest the greatest time that you've got in the service of the Lord. And if you're too busy that you can't give God some time and give some time to ministering to people, then you're too busy in life. Let me say that one more time. I know some of you like deer in the headlight this morning. You look at me like, what planet did you come off of? But am I reading it the way it is? I'm not. I don't have any plans of resigning. Some of you are like, man, I don't have a resignation written out. I can get one, but I don't have one, and I don't have any plans of that. I committed myself to be here the rest of my life. And some would say, are you kidding? I've been trying to tell the deacons, you guys need to get an insurance policy on me. Hey, if I die, y'all get it. My wife doesn't get it. Church gets money. I get heaven. I mean, that's a good deal, isn't it? Y'all acting the same way they acted. But he says, listen, it's got to be a team effort. Verse 20, thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and rulers of hundreds and rulers of 50 and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons, and it shall be that every great matter that they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. In other words, what he's saying is this, that the burdens, as the scripture says, to bear ye one another's burdens, it should be a shared responsibility. That it's not just the preacher's responsibility to bear everybody's burden, but it's everybody's responsibility to bear the burden of everybody else. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you came to me and my wife and said, listen, preacher, what's your burden? When was the last time you did that? I can be very selfish sometimes. I can become very ingrown. I fight hard not to do that. But I'm just like you. I got problems. I got heartaches. I got burdens that are unbelievable. And I believe you, and believe me, there are times that I feel like, hey, my wife and I both feel like times, who cares? Because I'm paid to take care of everybody else's burden. what Moses was doing. He's burning out for a good cause. I tell you what, friends, if I was as selfish as some people, I would have quit the ministry a long time ago. And believe me, there have been many times I say, Lord, they don't care. I don't care. But I got to go back to who started this thing. It wasn't me. I was minding my own business. And God showed up in the church service and began to put a squeeze on my heart. And said, I want you. It's got to be a team effort, friends. It's not a one-man show. I've seen too many preachers fall by the wayside that have burned out. A good friend ended up having a nervous breakdown in the midst of a building program because he's trying to keep his hands in every single thing going on in the ministry and for 18 months. 18 months. He sat in a nursing home. Said, I couldn't even cut the TV on because I was scared to death and overcome with fear. We got to share the responsibility. Hear me out, people. We're moving into a building program. This church voted. Well, I didn't vote. Well, if you weren't here, you could have been and should have been to make a very important vote for a building program. Now, we've got the responsibility. We've applied for the loan. We've signed the contract. We're in it. We need to see this thing through. I'm as committed as anybody is committed to make sure this thing happens. And I can tell you this straight up. It's going to take sacrifice on everybody's part. That's my plea this morning. Because we are in this thing together. You say, well, I didn't vote for it. Well, I'm trusting that in your heart, you'll understand what our church is trying to accomplish, what we're trying to do. If you don't understand that, please come talk to me or somebody else on the building committee and understand what we're saying, what we're trying to do. It's not about having a big flashy building, but it's about changing lives. Moses said, Jethro said, the responsibility's got to be shared. That you were to bear burdens just as much as I'm to bear burdens. He said, listen, split it up. Where you put some over 1,000, you put some over hundreds, you put some over 50s, you put some over 10s. Let the church body take care of the small stuff. That's what he says. When it comes to the big stuff, let them come to you. And you be the one that gives insight and shares the truth. But let it be a shared responsibility. Let it be a team effort. What are you doing personally as a part of the team of Hollywood Baptist Church to see this ministry go forward? Well, preacher, I come to church, sit on a pew. All right. You know, we're running nursery workers crazy back there. And some would say, preacher, if you quit praying that we'd have babies around here. Well, I ain't planning on stopping. And somebody said, well, you work in the nursery. I said, I'll be glad to. Somebody wants to take the pulpit, I'll go back there and change him little dirty diapers and work in that nursery. Do I have any volunteers? Drake, I see that hand. Drake's like, he's hiding down behind the pew. All right, let's talk about the team. We're going to stretch this out for a couple weeks because I think it's a very important subject. What are the hindrances to a team? Being apart, we're talking about co-equal effort under the direction of the Holy Spirit. We're all in this. As members of the body of Christ, really, not so much the members of Hollywood Baptist Church, because you don't have to be a member to serve in some capacities of the church. but it's to be a co-equal effort in seeing the ministry go forward. So therefore, everybody bears a responsibility in doing something. You know, we many times are very selective. We'll select this, God bless the nominating committee and their little report that they put in here. What is the nominating committee saying to you and I when they put this in there for 2 or 3 weeks? What are they saying to you and I? Help! How many of you have ever served on a nominating committee? All of you need to serve on it. Have you looked at this little sheet and said, oh God, what can I do? What can I do to further the kingdom of God? And what can I do to serve? I was working full time, 6 and 7 days a week. When I wasn't working on Sundays, I would serve in a junior high department. Now, you guys think you got it bad in the nursery. We'd have 350 to 400 junior high kids that would come into that gymnasium every Sunday morning. Now, I didn't have any other time. Because I'm working full time. I'm pulling 18 hours in school. I got 3 kids and a wife. My time's gone. But I needed to be doing something for the cause of Christ. And so somebody said, hey, we need somebody to stand at the door, the entrance to the gymnasium. And when these little kids come in, we need somebody to look in their face and give them a big smile, a handshake, give them a pat on the back, say something nice to them. I said, I can do that. You know how much? That was 20 minutes. 20 minutes I'd stand at that door, 300 and some kids would pile into that place, and it was my responsibility to look at them, say, hey, how are you today? You know, some of those kids would come in. Maybe nobody had spoken to them. Some of them were getting dressed as they came through the door. Some of them had hay and dirt all over them, straw, grass stuck in their hair, because nobody had taken the time to even try to help them. Some of them had been fed on the bus as they were bringing them in from God knows where. But that's all the time that I had. And I can't tell you the fulfillment that came to my heart when those little kids would come through that door. And I made it a point to look into the eyes of every single one of them and say, hey, maybe nobody else is going to speak into your life, but I'm going to speak into your life today. Because I want you to know I'm glad you're here. And I love you, and God loves you. I don't know what kind of impact I made, but I can tell you what, when I walked away from that 20 minutes of doing that, I felt fulfillment in my heart. You can serve somewhere. Well, preacher, all I do is a greeter. Well, then do it to the glory of God. I mean, how many of us in this room like a smiling face when we come to church? How many of us like to walk up to somebody that's smiling, that they're excited about you being here, and they stick that hand out, and you know that they genuinely mean it when they tell you, hey, we are glad you're here. We're so excited about you being in church. How many of you like that? Or how many of us enjoy coming to church and you walk through the doors and nobody speaks? And if somebody does speak, you get a couple grunts. They look at you like they could tear your head off. And if you go sit in their seat, they're going to whop you upside the head with a hymn book. Looks like they've already been entangled with a bear. And they don't want to be here. And if the truth be known, they don't want you to be here. And they want to get out of here as quick as they can. That's not God's heart. Every person in this room is a part of the team. And could and should be doing something for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. What are the hindrances? First of all, the past. How many times have you ever heard somebody say, we haven't... Right. We ain't never done it that way before. You can't live in the past, friends. Hey, you know the most important service this church will ever have is right now. And as soon as we get through with this one, the most important service that we'll ever have is tonight. And when tonight is finished, the most important service this church will ever have is Wednesday night. And when Wednesday night is finished, the most important service this church will ever have is next Sunday morning. My preacher told me years ago when I got saved, he said, son, don't you ever miss church, because I can tell you one thing, that'll probably be the time when you miss the most exciting thing that could ever happen in your life. I was like, wow. How many of you come to church bored, stiff, and sit there in the pew and say, give me something, preacher? That's what we pay you to do. Give me something. You're supposed to make me happy. You're supposed to teach me how to walk with the Lord. You're supposed to do something for me. When's the last time you came to church, walked up to the preacher and said, praise God, I want to tell you something. I've been fasting, praying for you. I'm praying God to get all over you and use you. I'm praying that God will anoint you and fill you with his spirit. And preacher, I'm trusting the Lord to save somebody in this service. Been praying all week long that somebody come to Christ. We ain't never done it that way before. Sometimes you got to break out of those molds. You got to do something different. Secondly, is people. That's one of the greatest hindrances to team effort, is people. And sadly to say, some of you have already tuned out. Some of you have already flipped the switch off. Some of you have already moved on to lunch because your stomach's growling because it's 5 minutes to 12 and God knows you eat at 12. Instead of setting your gaze on God and saying, Lord, what he's saying is exactly right. I need to break out of my little old selfish world and start doing something for the kingdom of God's sake. I can't help because I got hurt years ago. And you can sit around and lick your wounds all you want to, people, and you'll sit around and die lonely. I can't help what happened in ministry 10 years or 15 years ago, or what happened to you 20 or 25 years ago. We're all going to be hurt. Things are going to happen, but you can't live in the past, and you can't live according to people. The greatest hindrances of the team effort and our preferences. Well, preacher, I just don't like it. And we're all about our personal agendas, aren't we? Well, I think it needs to be, and I think it needs to be, and if it ain't going to be, then I ain't going to be. You know what I've learned? Sometimes you got to take one for the team's sake. Sometimes you just got to suck it up and recognize that maybe there needs to be a change. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I need to start doing something differently. What happens when you go to the doctor? You sit down in front of the doctor and he said, looking at this report, you're in trouble. Now, you got one of two choices to make. Either you take my little pill and do what I tell you to do, or you go on down the road and serve the death warrant on yourself in about 6 months. There's some people say, hey, I'll take my chances. But there's some people that are going to make some changes, aren't they? They're going to do what's needed in order to change. Because they can't live in the past any longer. Believe me, when you get diabetes, you can't sit down and eat a whole carton of ice cream at night again. You can't break up chocolate chip cookies in it and drink a big old glass of milk or iced tea to go along with it. Can anybody say amen or oh me? I know what some of you do. I can tell it on your faces. Maybe you can't, preacher, but I can. I know what you're thinking. I can see it. The hindrances to a team is past, people, preferences, and what about this? Prejudices. Now, I'm not talking about just white and black. Sometimes we just have plain old prejudices because we don't like so-and-so. Or we don't like that family. or we don't like this, or we don't like that. I've seen people being hung up in ministry for years that could never get beyond their prejudices. You got to understand there's a big old world outside these four walls. How many of us in this room would not witness to a black person? When a man looked at me one time and said, listen, don't try to get them into heaven. They don't deserve to be there. Other nationalities. We'll jump up and down when it's white and black. But many times we don't say things about other mixes and other races when all it is really is their personal agenda. You know, look at the way that people dress. I don't think they ought to wear that shirt. You ever stop and think maybe somebody just said that about you? I don't think she needs to wear that church anymore. Sometimes you need to take a long look in the mirror before you start criticizing somebody else. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean this morning, but I'm just saying what Moses is saying here. You got to do some strong evaluating. Sometimes you got to sit down and put the cards on the table. You got to confront some things. You got to deal with them. You got to look at them objectively. They're hindrances, and in closing, the importance of a team. Why is it important for you to bear burdens in this ministry as well as myself? Why is it important for you to take on responsibility in the ministry? I've said it for years. If you're the chairman of a committee, then chair the committee. Year after year after year after year, we have people that will say, hey, I'll be the chairman of that committee, and then nothing's done. Because many times everybody expected me to do something. I didn't agree to be the chairman of the committee. I'm just an ex-official member of the committee. Be self-motivated. Say, okay, God, I got this responsibility. What do you want me to do, Lord? It's a shared responsibility, and it keeps the load lighter because it spreads the workload out and it creates work for other people and them bearing responsibility. Hey, I want to thank God for a lady, Rini, that week after week after week after week and goes unnoticed that she brings these flowers. These are fresh flowers every week. And I've called Rini on Saturday and say, Rini, would you go up and down 57 and pull some things out of people's gardens and out of their yards and try to get us a flower arrangement tomorrow? Will you go back and pull something, you know, out of the closet that's synthetic and looks artificial and smells artificial and is artificial? This lady's self-motivated. You know why she does that? Because she wants to glorify the Lord first and foremost. And she wants to bless us. You know how many churches would die to have fresh flowers every Sunday? And by the way, that's been going on for how many years, Donnie Moore? Yep, long time. And I'm talking, what, 40, 50 years? Because your mama did it for how long? Long, long, long time. He's scared. He didn't want to tell his age. That's what it is. And many, many other people that have done those same kind of things. But those are the things you can't let fall between the cracks. It's to be a shared responsibility. It spreads the workload out, and it draws you draw from more resources. Just as I said, some of you are a whole lot greater ministers than I ever thought about being, and you could run circles around me. But you got to be willing to step up and say, praise God, I'm part of the team. I'm not going to be part of the problem. I'm going to be part of the solution. And thirdly, in closing, it provides more strength. The more you have, the stronger the team you've got, because there's power in numbers. There's power in numbers. Listen to the statement. we must remember that the strength of the team is impacted by its weakest link. The strength of the team is impacted by its weakest link. Jethro said, Moses, you can't do it all, buddy, because it's going to kill you and kill everybody else. But what you guys have got to do is come together as a team and bear that burden and responsibility together. And the small stuff, let them take care of it. But the big stuff, they can bring to you. But you share that burden and respond as a team. We're going to finish this out next week. It could be that with some, there's no inner witness and no inward desire to do anything for the kingdom of God. And you need to look at your life. Hey, I made it a point to be involved in ministry whether I had the time to do it or not, because I wanted my life to count for something eternally. You can have all these accolades professionally. You can be the best at what you do professionally. But what is it doing to further the kingdom of God? Before I became a pastor, there were jobs that I quit. I quit working in the foundry one time and took a job working at Advance Auto because I wanted to be able to spend more time in the ministry. Well, preacher, you know, man, you took more than a half a cut, a dollar hour pay. I mean, you chopped it in half. I did. I felt like God led me to do that because I didn't want to be so tied down to a secular job that didn't mean a hill of beans in relationship to nothing more than putting brake calipers on a vehicle. And I knew the responsibility that I had to put beans on the table, but I also had a responsibility to fulfill my responsibility as a Christian. And my kids weren't going to go without a meal. I might go without a meal every once in a while, but my kids and wife weren't going to do that. And I paid for a house, and I paid for vehicles, and I paid to go to school. And I prayed my way through that. You look at me and tell me I ain't missed any meals. Amen. Because I knew in the heart of my God that his pleasure was in using me to touch other people's lives. And friends, let me say this to you. You only get one shot. You only get one chance. Strike the iron while it's hot. Do something for the sake of the kingdom of God. Seek out Jessica Waller, Heather Langford, other people on the nominating committee, and say, listen, I'm not giving you a blue sheet. I'm giving you my name. I'm giving you my name and my phone number. I want you to give me one of these classrooms around here because God's called me to be a Sunday school teacher and I've got to have an outlet. And I'm not looking for you to give me kids. I'm trusting God to give me kids. And I'm going to study, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to visit, and I'm going to do and do and do and do and do. As somebody said, it's a whole lot better to rust out or to burn out than it is to rust out. Are you a part of the team? Do you know for certain that Christ is in your heart and life, and you've got a desire to be God's instrument? And the reason why you want to minister to people is because that's a desire that he's placed within your heart to be a preacher, be a minister, to be a missionary, to be God's representation, whether it's out in the field cutting wheat or it's sitting in an office or it's out on the sidewalk on Main Street being a doctor, lawyer, whatever. You're just submitting yourself to God's leadership because you want to be part of the team. You want to be part of the solution. Hear me out, people. I'm not griping and complaining. It's not what I'm doing. But I do believe there's something that we've got to work at in the team effort. Because there are many people in this room that are very busy, but you're not busy about God's work. And if all you got's 10 minutes a day to give to the Lord, I said, man, hit it and do it for Jesus. And you'll find great fulfillment We got one of the greatest opportunities that is coming up in just a few weeks. Ms. Cheryl's sitting right back there. We need VBS workers. That's Wednesday evening, Thursday evening, Friday evening, Saturday morning, Sunday morning. Well, preacher, I think I'm going to be busy that week. Why don't you clear your schedule? And say, my busyness is going to be going to Miss Cheryl and say, hey, I'll take that class. We're only a few weeks out, friends. She's desperate to have people work in Vacation Bible School. You know, the truth be known, we ought to be fighting with each other. I want that class. That's my class. That's mine. Don't get mad at the preacher. You take what I've shared with you today to the Lord. And say, God, am I missing something here? And do I desperately open up my heart and say, God, would you show me what I need to be doing? Statistics say that 20% of the people do 100% of the work. But that don't ever be. It needs to be higher than that. And so would you enlist? Would you be part of the team? Be used of God mightily and touching somebody's life. Father, I thank you for the opportunities that you've given to us to serve you. I realize people are busy. I understand that. But God, we can do what we want to do. We'll make time for those things that are important. And the challenge this morning is very plain, very simple. Because it'll wear me down and it'll wear everybody down in this room. That if we're not willing to pull our weight and to do what needs to be done and putting forth a team effort to see this ministry go forward, and not so much the ministry, but the kingdom of God, that you've commissioned us and commanded us to go into the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. We can use our professions. We can use a lot of different stuff. It's nothing more at times, just an excuse. Because we want to go get on Facebook, we want to go home and kick back. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But Lord, many times we will use that not to be a part of the work for the kingdom's sake. I pray for anybody here this morning that's never trusted Christ as their Savior. May they understand that God loves them and that He desires to come into their heart and change them and Lord, to set their heart aflame for the things that matter to you. And to recognize that they'll be given a gift of eternal life according to what the Scripture says. And that one day when they take their last breath, to be absent from this old body means to be present with the Lord. And to know that they've got heaven to gain. Lord, do your office work in this service as we submit ourselves and commit ourselves to you afresh and anew. And we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys have a hymn of invitation, Robert? Or you want me to sing? I figured that'd get them moving a little quicker. Invitation's very simple. If there's some need to slip to the altar and say, God, I need you to do a fresh work in my heart. Maybe some you've got your vision off. You say, preacher, I don't feel like I'm much of a team. You know what? Sometimes you got to set your feelings aside and go do what's important. You got to do something for the team's sake and do something for the bigger picture. There could be people here this morning say, preacher, cutting to the chase, I don't know where I'm going when I die. And give us the privilege to share the Scriptures with you, that you can get that issue cleared in your heart and know for certain that heaven's going to be your home someday.